Welcome to the Benefits Beat, the podcast that helps you navigate the complex world of benefits. Together, we're going to dive deep into the industry, breaking down the barriers and exploring different topics surrounding benefits. We'll be bringing in subject matter experts who will share their knowledge, offering tips and tricks to help you understand and, more importantly, benefit from your benefits. Whether it's health insurance, dental, vision, disability, or other total rewards you're offered, we've got you covered. Our aim is to empower you with the knowledge and understanding you need to make informed decisions. So join your hosts, Maggie and Zach, every 2 weeks as we explain the nuances, all in an effort to make it easier for you to navigate the world of benefits.
Hi, I'm Zach Ward, and I am your host for Hub Horan's Employee Benefits Podcast, The Benefits Beat. Today, we've got a pretty fun guest on the podcast here. His name is Dale Davidson. He's a colleague of mine, actually highlighted in the data bite that's going to be coming out here very, very soon. Dale, really appreciate you hopping on.
Thanks for having me.
Dale, do you mind telling our listeners a little bit about what you do? I know your title has changed a couple of times here since you started. Would be curious just to get a little overview of that.
I am the Employee Benefits Project Manager. My job is to try and make sure that we stay on track to meet all of the goals that they have in place.
Perfect.
By the end of the year.
Awesome. So you've had, as I mentioned, an exciting here last 3 months or so. Could you walk me through a little bit about the overview of what happened, how you got there, the last 12 months of kind of your health, and tell us a little bit about your situation?
So this all really started happening to me back in August of last year. I'm one of those guys that get the physical every year, blood work every year, and my numbers always come back great. But I have a good friend who, he has the same situation where his numbers are always fine. But he had a friend who said, hey, there's this test out there, and it's called a CT calcium score test. And what it does is it gives you an idea of the amount of calcium buildup that you have in your arteries, maybe your valves as well, but I know for sure the arteries. Mm-hmm. So he took that test and failed it miserably, and within about 3 weeks, he ended up having a five-way bypass. No symptoms, no nothing. Goes from what he thinks is perfectly healthy to right. This bypass situation. So he let a bunch of his buddies, including myself, know, and I asked my doctor about taking the test. Again, I just had my physical. He said, yeah, it's a good test. So I took it, and I came back with a more moderate failure, but it was still a failure. Mm-hmm. The scale goes from like 0 to 700. My friend was 700 plus. He was off the scale. I was 370, I think, was the number. So it indicates that there's some issues, but we don't know how bad, right? So worried me a little bit, but got a cardiologist at that point, yeah. And we were talking about the next step, and the next step was, well, we can either put you on a medication, I think they call it Lipitor, if I remember, it's the one that takes care of calcium and stuff, or we could take this second test, where it's very similar to the CT calcium score test that I took, except they inject a dye. They slow down your heart, mm-hmm. inject a dye. Then they can get a really good picture of where that calcium buildup is.
What is that first? So you mentioned the first test, right? Let's check your arteries. Let's check the blockages, et cetera. How do they do that first test? The second one is?
You're in a tube.
Okay.
10 minutes. You literally walk in with your doctor's orders. No appointment is needed. You just walk in. You wait a few minutes. You go in. 10 minutes later, you're done.
So no shots, no...
No.
No nothing.
Nothing like that. It's just a reading from the machine that gives you an indication of how much calcium buildup you have. The problem with the test is it doesn't tell you where that calcium is necessarily. It'll tell you which artery it's in, mm-hmm. but it doesn't say, hey, it's spread out through the whole artery, so even though it's kind of a high number, you're really okay. Let's do medication.
Gotcha.
Or doesn't say, hey, it's all concentrated in one area.
So this first test is kind of a gatekeeper, it sounds like.
Yeah.
We need to take that one step farther? Or is it a small enough number where I can watch what I eat and maybe exercise a little bit more?
100%.
And that would solve it? Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So like if I would have scored 100, then we wouldn't be sitting here doing this right now.
Right.
But since it was 300 and something, I was given the option of taking that second test with the dye, and that's the option that I took. So when they did that test, they were able to determine that the blockage was in my LAD. I had two blockages, both in the LAD, one in the middle, and it was somewhere between 70 and 99%. They couldn't tell exactly. They just know it's in that range, mm-hmm. that it's in the middle of the artery. The second blockage was at the entrance of the artery, and it was between, I think, 30 and 49%. So we knew we had a significant blockage in the middle. They weren't so worried about the one at the entrance because it was less than 50%, and I guess that's okay. But they were very concerned about the 70 to 99%. So from that test, we decided that they were going to put a stent in that artery. So you prep for that. We went into the hospital early one morning, like 5:30, and then they take in at 7 o'clock, and they tried to put the stent in through my wrist. But when they got to the blockage, they determined that the blockage indeed was 100%. So it wasn't 70 to 99. Mm-hmm. It was, that artery was 100% blocked in the middle. So they couldn't put a stent in. And the only reason that I was alive and kicking is your amazing body, it built what's called collaterals that come out of the artery, and they kind of dig themselves into the heart. And it's kind of like a natural bypass. So that's what happened. My heart, my artery built a natural bypass around the blockage. But I didn't have any symptoms that I recognized. You know, as good as I feel today, I can now go back in time and I can say, yeah, you know, maybe I was a little tired. I wasn't, wasn't 100%, but I really didn't recognize it.
Hindsight being 20/20, it's easy to look back.
Yeah, exactly.
So going back to the second test where they basically said, hey, you have two options. Okay, we've done this first test. Now you have, we can either put you on medication or we can go this one step farther and actually figure out where this blockage is. It sounds like, and maybe I'm mistaken here, but it sounds like you made the right choice on, hey, let's take it that one step farther. Let's inject a dye. Is this something that medication could have prevented, or is it if you were on medication, it would not have solved the problem. You would still continue to have this blockage.
Had I been on medication much earlier, then yes, I think it would have prevented the problem. However, going on the medication when we discovered the blockage, it wouldn't have done any good at all.
Gotcha.
So, no, I'm glad we decided to go with that second test.
And what's the timeline between? So you said this started in August.
Yeah.
How easy was it to get?
Very, very, very easy. My doctor, my primary, I recommended a cardiologist at Christ, and I went to see him. We had that second test done within a week, and after the results, we had the stent scheduled within another week. So we're in the October time frame here, October, November. Everything started, all those tests started in October, though. Anyway, during the period of time that it took to take the tests, get the cardiologist appointment, get the stent appointment, fail having the stent to go in, waiting another 2 weeks, the surgery ended up finally being January the 12th.
So three months or so.
Yeah, to get through the whole process. Now, at the time when I found out, hey, I've got 100% blockage, time was moving at a snail's pace, right? I mean, because we're worried. We don't. It's 100% blocked.
So, Dale, I know you mentioned, so you've got this test, right? You started in August. You go see your primary care. You do this initial test with the cardiologist. How helpful was your primary care physician in just triaging where to go, who to go see, who's in network, et cetera?
Well, he was great. Scott has been my primary for 30 years, though, so, you know, I've got a pretty good relationship with him. He did initially wanted to do the recommendation of going to someone in the TriHealth system. I decided that I wanted to go to the Christ system.
Very good hospital.
And he had no problem with that whatsoever. So he put me in touch with a cardiologist there, and it was pretty smooth getting in and getting that second test scheduled to die.
Gotcha. Okay. So let's walk through the timeline. So you, primary care doctor's first visit around October?
August.
Is that August? Okay.
That was my physical.
Okay.
The next, finding out about the CT calcium score test, though, didn't require any kind of visit. I actually went on MyChart.
MyChart.
Yeah. Yep. And I messaged him about it, and he thought it was a great idea. So he put in the order. I was able to go to a local imaging place. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I don't really remember what it was. I think it was a TriHealth imaging place. Again, no appointment necessary. Walk right in. Took the test. That evening, before I got home, I already had the results.
Okay.
That there definitely was a moderate blockage.
Right.
That you might want to look at more clearly.
And that's October. So you've got the first test. We're in October. You're looking at now, hey, here's your two options. You can either take medication or you can go this next step farther. Did you go to the same place? Did you end up finding a more specialized cardiologist for the second imaging?
They did the second test at Christ.
Okay.
Because it is, they have to slow your heart down to around 50 beats a minute. They have to inject the dye. So you are in the hospital, you're outpatient, but you're coming into the hospital to actually take this test.
And then surgery for you was January.
January 12th.
So even with a primary care doctor, this took 3-4 months, and it was moving very quickly. But to your point, at this time, you've gotten the results of your second test, and you've said, okay, we have a serious blockage. You're kind of worried about it. This is a stressful time, I'm assuming, for you, for your wife, for your family. It's still moving quickly, but there's a time lag on it, and it just comes down to scheduling, all the different doctors that need to make sure they see you before, all the scheduling around operating rooms, all that good stuff.
Right.
But your primary care was able to kind of expedite that. If you were trying to go to Christ by yourself and just say, hey, I need a cardiologist, you might be looking at 4 months before you even get in for your initial appointment.
100%.
Okay, Dave, so you've got 4 months leading up to the surgery. January 12th, your surgery date. What do they go in and do?
So one of the reasons that it takes a long time is because there's like 8 days of preparation of things that you have to do, blood tests, going and visiting with a doctor, not just the cardiologist. They're talking to you about different aspects of your health and things that you need to do over the next 7 to 8 days prior to, actually, they did it for the stent as well. But then when the stent failed, there's another 7 to 8 days of other prep I have to do now. I ended up with a two-way bypass for those blockages. And so there's just prep, and it just takes time. When I finally got in there on January 12th, again, it was report there at like 5:30 in the morning. You know, you meet with the group, the anesthesiologist comes in. And that's one of the eight-day preps thing too. You have to meet with the anesthesiologist prior to going into the room. So that was like on day 3 or 4, and they just talk you through things and how it's going to go. Christ was great. They were very hands-on.
Mm-hmm.
I knew who my surgeon was going to be 8 days prior to the surgery happening, so I was able to do my research on him to make sure I was happy, and he's just so – it's Dr. Jeff Answeeney. He is so well thought of. He's the tops. He's one of the best.
Well, good.
So anyway, we go in there, and they take me back to this incredibly cold room, and they just prep you like for any other surgery, I guess.
Cold room.
Yeah, incredibly cold room. And, you know, they're shaving and prepping and doing what all they have to do. And then I was gone. I was out. And next thing I know, I wake up in intensive care. They kept me in intensive care one night, and then I was in the regular hospital for 3 nights. So I went home on the fourth afternoon is when I went home.
And recovery's been great, and you're looking great. You're feeling great. I see you running around the office all the time. Happy to have you back.
Thank you. Yeah, I feel great. I feel better than great. I feel better than I have in years.
How much of it is
I can tell you the first 2 weeks of the recovery where it was horrible. One of the things that happens during the surgery is your lungs collapse. I guess that's a planned thing. They stop your heart. So anyway, one of the things that you have to do when you get finished with the surgery is your lungs have to get back in shape, right? So they give you this thing to suck through and blow in and all that. But they also, one of the things that's going to happen is you cough. Well, imagine having been cut open there, what a cough feels like. It was horrible. They give you this red heart-shaped pillow that you're supposed to hug every time you cough to put pressure so that it doesn't hurt as much, but it hurts. So first two weeks was really, really bad.
So how much of it was, I mean, obviously the physical side of things were difficult, but the mental piece of, okay, I've got this blockage that I didn't know I had. I had zero symptoms. I've came to my doctor. Now a friend of a friend has had this heart attack episode, whatever you want to call it. Now I'm going in, and that 6 months ago I had no idea what was going to happen. How much of it, of the recovery was that? Or at this
actually,
point,
I would tell you, for the recovery, because of the surgeon that I had and the team at Christ, I was great mentally. The only thing was the pain of the recovery for the first 2 weeks. But then, you know, I was supposed to be out of work for 9 weeks is what we had figured. I would be gone. But I was back at the beginning of the fifth week. I was ready. You know, the pain was all gone by that point. I just, you know, I couldn't lift things and stuff like that. But you know how we are around here. It was pretty easy for me to work all that stuff out.
If you don't mind me asking, this is what our podcast is all about, is how was the insurance journey through all this? I know you had your primary care, and it sounds like he was very, very helpful in it, but how often did you talk to the insurance company? Did you have to work through any pre-authorizations, that sort of thing?
Yeah, that was the big thing, just making sure that the pre-authorizations were timed, but the administrative staff at Christ was so on top of it. Every time I would go, they were making sure that the insurance was handled appropriately. There wasn't one snag. And I never had to talk to the insurance company. And everything worked the way it should have. You know, I had to pay my deductible.
Always fun.
And the out-of-pocket. But I was able to take care of all that on January 12th. Now I'm good for the rest of the year.
There you go. And then, Dale, I want to jump a little bit. I know you have this long interview that you've done for our Databyte, and just kind of talk about your opinion on heart health for the public, on what they should know, how they should approach it. I know, like, even me, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, should I go get this test? And maybe not, but just kind of your advice to people out there on, yeah, you may not have any symptoms, but going to see your primary care, going to get these different tests that might be helpful. Just kind of curious your thoughts on that.
Yeah, a couple of things. The one thing that I think is important, and not necessarily at 40 years old, but maybe at 50, I don't know when it starts, but I think it's real important to get a baseline. This test, the CT calcium score, costs $100. Go get the test, get a baseline of where you are today, and if it's good, it's great, okay? But then if you need to take it again in 10 years, well, you'll know what your number was. And it turns out that I actually had that CT calcium score test back in 2010. I was having neck surgery of some kind, for a disc, but for whatever reason, they did that test on me. My score at the time was 28. So I know from 2010 to 2023, I went from 28 to 370-something. That's a pretty significant number. So that would be one thing that I learned. Another thing that I learned is it's so important for women to take this test, because women have heart attacks more than men have heart attacks.
Really?
So that's what I'm told. So certainly this isn't a guy thing. You know, this is a girl and a guy thing. I've learned, and I know so many of my friends have now had this test, both men and women. Luckily, there's only one friend that I have that it's actually come back that they need to take the next steps. The other folks that I recommended take it, they've come back great. But that would be two of the most important things.
Yeah, it sounds like it's almost like you take your blood test every year, right, when you go see your primary care. Pop this one in once when you're 50 or once when you're 40, whenever, and then have it exactly as you said, a baseline for in 5 years you do it again and see if maybe you can catch something earlier. You can go to the medication side of things versus, okay, I have to go down this path of phase two now, et cetera.
Yeah.
Dale, I know you are one of the most optimistic people I've ever met. You're always a smiling face around the office, but in terms of your outlook on this, I mean, I can't imagine somebody, this is going to sound terrible, but somebody better for it to happen to, because you're going to look at it in the bright side of things and the lessons that you can take from it, the lessons you can share with your friends from it. What is your outlook like going through this last 8 months or so on, okay, I've gone through this, now kind of moving forward, how are you looking at it?
Yeah, for me, going through it, certainly there was some fear, but it really is just a blip on my radar, right? I mean, this is going to be such a short period of time. I am perfectly fine now. I'm totally healed. I've got to be on this medication for the cholesterol or calcium or whatever it is that I have to do. But it's a small dosage. It's a small price to pay, right? I had mentioned about I've got a very, very dear friend who passed away from ALS. That's not a blip, okay? His family is destroyed from what happened to him. For me, found out, get the surgery, I'm fine. So for me, this was, I'm blessed that I was able to find out about it. I've got a good friend who told me about it, had great doctors who could take care of it for me, and I just go on. It's over with. You know, as far as I'm concerned, I don't have heart disease anymore. I know that's probably not true, but for me, it's over.
Yeah. Well, Dale, you're going to be a fantastic advocate for moving forward and just getting things checked out, just understanding, you know, I'm probably one of the ones that falls into, I don't probably go to the doctor enough, and I probably need to go a little bit more, but luckily I'm young and healthy so far, but you never know. I mean, your story is a good example to those that go once every 5 years. Just go see your primary care, build a relationship, try to catch things before they turn into either a heart attack that you survive and you're going through the recovery for it. Try to catch those things, build the relationships, and make it easy on yourself.
Yeah.
Well, Dale, we appreciate your time. Thank you so much. Check out our data bite for our listeners. It's going to be on heart health, some data around it, some stories from people like Dale, and some ideas around insurance that you can take from it. Yeah. But Dale, we appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Nothing we say on this podcast is representative of any specific plan and should not be considered as legal, regulatory, or accounting advice. If there are any discrepancies between what we say and your plan document will prevail. If you have any questions about your benefits, please reach out to your HR representative. Thanks for tuning in today. Our suggestion box is always open, so if you have a question you would like us to answer or a topic you would like us to cover, send us a message on Instagram at @TheBenefitsBeat. And remember to subscribe on your favorite listening app so you never miss an episode, and be sure to follow us on social media for more benefit tips and tricks.